Christianity is a joke. Church attendance has steadily declined in the last 10 years, fewer bums on seats, as some might say. We live in a multicultural, multi-faith, liberal society where Christianity is increasingly seen as outdated, intolerant, and bigoted, slowly being squeezed out of every aspect of public life. And woe betide anyone who might speak out. Many parts of the church, in the hope to make Christianity relevant, as if it was ever anything but relevant, are embracing secular culture in method and message. What hope is there for the biblical gospel in 21st century Britain and for the messengers of that gospel? Jump back 2,000 years or so. The Apostle Paul is headed to Rome with the gospel, the good news of God's rescue through the Lord Jesus. He's not had an easy journey either. There have been outrages and riots and fierce opposition. The Jews have been especially upset, believing that the gospel stands against all they believe. Christianity is seen as a dangerous sect. Sound familiar? So Paul, a gospel messenger, is a threat. And because of this, Paul's been on trial 3 times before asking to have his case heard by Caesar. Even that hasn't been an easy journey. Sailing across the Mediterranean from Caesarea to Rome, Paul's encountered hurricane and shipwreck, the threat of death by Roman soldiers, and the bite of a poisonous snake. But Paul's still going. Paul's a man on a mission, because Paul's a man on a promise. God has spoken, and Paul is going to Rome. In Acts 23:11, God says to Paul, "Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." And in chapter 27, in the middle of the hurricane, when all on board the ship to Rome have given up hope, God says to Paul, "Do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar." Which shouldn't really surprise us, because the gospel and Paul have always been bound for Rome, ever since Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the risen Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The gospel has been bound for Rome. All roads lead to Rome, and all roads lead out of Rome. There's no better springboard for the gospel going to the ends of the earth than Rome. So the apostle to the Gentiles is headed to the greatest Gentile city in the world to testify about God's rescue through the risen Lord Jesus. In spite of the circumstances, which have really sucked, Paul has faith in God that it will happen just as he told him. And God's word has sustained Paul on his journey. Take courage. Do not be afraid. You are going to Rome. As we pick up Acts 28, Paul is on the final leg, the home straight of his journey to Rome. In spite of everything that's happened, all that we could say has gone wrong, God hasn't got things wrong. Because God gets his messenger where he wants him. That's the first point on the sermon outline. God gets his messenger where he wants him. We left Paul ministering on Malta after the shipwreck. 3 months later, winter has passed and sailing is safe again. So Paul, Luke and all those with them, they board a ship and sail for Rome. As you can see on the map, they sail up from Malta, verse 12, to Syracuse in Sicily. Then verse 13 on to Rhegium, on the toe of Italy. Setting sail the next day to Puteoli. Then they stay with some Christian brothers there before finishing the final leg on the journey on foot. 40 miles from Rome, they arrive at the Forum of Appius, and verse 15 are met by another group of Christians who've travelled down from Rome to accompany them. We read in verse 15 that at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. The brothers give Paul heart. Christians can be such an encouragement to one another. Meeting together, giving our time and energies and our efforts to be there for and to serve one another. The encouragement you are to others when you come along week by week on a Sunday morning, being here, welcoming, chatting, or committing to a growth group, supporting and sharing lives together. or when you come to pray at the monthly prayer meeting. What an encouragement for others that you are there, that you show your concern for the life of the church, for others when they hear you praying for them. What an encouragement you are when you give your time and energies to help teach the children and young people about the Lord Jesus. 38 people doing that week by week on Sunday mornings here. 38 people from our church family working together to do that. How great is that? Or an impromptu phone call to someone during the week. I noticed you weren't at church on Sunday. How are things? Is there anything I can do? What an encouragement. What an encouragement we can be for one another as we walk the Christian life together. Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Verse 16, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Verse 16 feels quite understated when we realise that this is where the gospel has been destined throughout the whole book of Acts. Verse 16 is also the fulfilment of God's promise to Paul. The circumstances to get Paul here have sucked. In his second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul writes, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for the churches. And that was written 5 years before Paul's arrival in Rome. So we can add anything else that happened there, including another hurricane and shipwreck on Malta. Paul's a prisoner, handcuffed to a Roman soldier, having endured the most challenging of journeys, but Paul arrives in Rome as God has said he would. God gets his messenger where he wants him. Trials and challenges, but not for one moment has God got things wrong. Not for one moment has God lost control. God has brought Paul to where he wants him. The gospel is headed to the ends of the earth. It is unstoppable. And in spite of the circumstances, the gospel messenger is unstoppable too, because God still has work for him to do. God will ensure that that work is completed, even when faced with the most testing of circumstances. Each one of us here now who trust in the Lord Jesus bear that same gospel. We're not apostles in the same sense Paul is, but we are each sent ones, gospel messengers, sent into the world with the gospel. We don't know exactly where God wants us to take the gospel, to whom, but there are many who aren't trusting in the Lord Jesus in our workplaces, schools, families, friendship groups, on the road we live on, in the local gym, or wherever else we come into contact with unbelievers. And don't be disappointed by the trials and the challenges we face in these situations. Rest assured that nothing will get in the way of the gospel messenger who has work to do. We have a gospel to take to the world, that they might be saved, that they might turn and trust in the Lord Jesus, be brought from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they might be forgiven. And God gets his messenger where he wants him, entrusted with his gospel, the gospel of God's kingdom and God's king. The second point on the sermon outline. There's the old and familiar story of a British army officer whose instruction along the line was, send reinforcements, we're going to advance. By the time it reached command, the message had mutated to send 3 and 4 pence. We're going to a dance. If someone has a message, it's good to be clear what it is. The more important the message, the more important it is to get it right, because messages often require a response, and responses often have consequences. Paul has come to Rome to have his case heard by Caesar. He wants justice for his name and for the name of the Lord Jesus. In spite of the Jewish accusations, the gospel is not an offence against the Jews. In fact, it's quite the opposite. With the freedom afforded to Paul as a prisoner, verse 17, he calls together the Jewish leaders. Inviting them to his home, he takes the opportunity to explain that the gospel is about God's kingdom and God's king. Verse 20, the hope that Israel's been looking forward to for hundreds of years. And as a result, he as a gospel messenger does not stand against them, but stands with them as a Jewish brother. Whispers have been circling around that Christianity is a sect, a breakaway group from Judaism, anti-Jewish. Indeed, it's this misunderstanding that's put Paul on trial in the first place. But my brothers, says Paul, the gospel is not a break from Judaism. It is its fulfillment. The hope of Israel has finally arrived. God's kingdom has broken in the coming of his king. And with the coming of God's king, death has been defeated. God's kingdom will last forever. So be a part of it by following God's king. Having established the gospel's credibility and connected with the Jewish leaders, Paul's afforded the opportunity to speak the truth to them. And the focus of Paul's message when he meets with them again is the identity of God's king. The Jewish leaders and many others return to hear what Paul has to say. We read in verse 23 that from morning till evening, Paul explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus, God's king, from the Old Testament scriptures. We read later in verse 31 that the consistent focus of Paul's message is the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of the gospel message is the breaking in of God's kingdom in the person of God's king. This is the news we have to tell others. You know, speak about God all we want until the cows come home. The killer question is, who is Jesus? Paul doesn't circle the issue. Straight to the heart. There are many things we could agree with Jews and even Muslims on about God. But the rubber hits the road when we begin to speak about who Jesus is. A prophet, wise man, or God's king, the Messiah, the Christ, the Saviour of the world, God himself come to earth in the person of Jesus, through whom and only through whom Jesus himself says, can we have a right relationship with God? Be forgiven. Move from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. As Paul says in verse 20, God's hope. And verse 28, God's salvation, his rescue. Accepting the gospel, trusting in Jesus, brings God's hope and salvation into our lives. Forgiveness of sins, a right relationship with God, and the certain hope of eternal life. Are you convinced by what the Bible says about Jesus? Things haven't changed much since first century Rome, where verse 24, some people are convinced, but others would not believe. There's a warning for rejecting the gospel, for rejecting Jesus as God's king. Paul reminds his listeners of words God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. The same words Jesus spoke of his unbelieving contemporaries. Words of judgment. A chilling quote that sometimes God confirms the choice we make not to believe. For those who are determined to close their eyes and ears to God's truth, God sometimes confirms that choice and closes them. Hearing but never understanding, seeing but never perceiving. If only we would have looked and listened, God would have healed us. One day it will be too late. Don't risk that day being today. If you've not yet accepted the gospel of God's kingdom and God's king, received the hope and salvation it offers, you have rejected it. And as this chilling quote from Isaiah says, rejecting the gospel brings condemnation. This is serious stuff. Eternal matters are at stake. No wonder God made sure his messenger arrived in Rome. No wonder, as Paul then says in verse 28, the gospel will go to those who will listen to it. The gospel message needs to go to the ends of the earth. And I guess this is the reason for Paul's determined perseverance, many times against the odds. This model messenger carrying the gospel hope of salvation for the nations knows God will get him where he wants him. God is in control. But Paul doesn't just kick back and let be and let God, as the saying goes. Paul knows God will get him where he wants him, so trusts God and perseveres in gospel ministry. Our final point, so trust God and persevere in gospel ministry. I will keep going in spite of the circumstances because God will get me where he wants me. Far from being an excuse to sit back, God's control is the greatest motivator to press on. In spite of the opposition and the three trials and the shipwreck, each one a reason to give up. Paul presses on. And now in Rome, in spite of the prison guard on his arm, Paul continues to minister the gospel. First to the Jews, verses 23 to 27. Then verses 30 to 31 for 2 years to all who came to see him. There are many reasons to give up. Many reasons, excuses not to press on with the gospel. People are too hard or too difficult or not interested or might take offence. There's never the right moment, always an obstacle or barrier in the way. We just can't find a suitable date to eat and talk and share time together. Maybe these are all signs that God doesn't want me to share the gospel at this time with these people. What if Paul had given up after the first beating or flogging? We have a gospel to take to the world. What makes us think God doesn't want us to take it into our workplace or to our neighbours or family just because we've faced obstacles on the way? Trust God and persevere in gospel ministry because he will get us where he wants us. And because the gospel we have is the gospel of hope and salvation. It's such a temptation to give up, but take Paul's model. Trust God and determined to persevere in gospel ministry. Verse 23, from morning till evening, as long as is needed. What do we mean by gospel ministry? Well, speaking about God's kingdom and God's King Jesus. With words about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. If we don't know where to start with evangelism, Paul shows us clearly, speak about God's kingdom and speak about God's King. Verse 23, explaining and declaring and convincing. Verse 28, boldly. Paul's ministry is a persuasive ministry. Do we want to persuade others that the Lord Jesus is who he says he is? Do we have that passion and concern for his name to be glorified, for people to see him as he really is, rather than treat him as a joke? And do we love others enough to share with them the only hope they have for eternity? The Bible teaches us that we're all eternal beings, facing an eternity of either salvation or condemnation, determined by our response to Jesus in this life. As we finish, there's an unfinished feel about the book. Luke leaves us with Paul in Rome, proclaiming the kingdom of God and God's King. The final words of the book are literally with all boldness and without hindrance. We know that God is in control of everything. As Acts finishes, we see that God leaves the gospel in Paul's hands on the springboard to the world. Where from there? Well, eventually it came to Arborfield. Where next? It depends on us. God has entrusted the gospel to us now. What will you do with it today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in control over all things. Thank you that you will get us to exactly where you want us to be. Thank you for entrusting us to take the gospel out to others. We know the eternal significance those words have in the lives of all who hear and accept them. We pray for boldness for us as we minister in the world. Help us persevere through the trials and challenges, trusting in your control and persevering as faithful gospel ministers whilst we wait for the Lord Jesus to return. In his name we pray. Amen.